So this is Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, and we have Mason Van Dyke with us today. He is our facilitator moderator. And for those of you that want to look that up, there is a difference between being a facilitator and being a moderator. And so Mason is actually wearing both of those hats. And in a nutshell, in an overview, because this is kind of a teaching call as well as going through the material. First of all, I want to welcome everybody with the Women for Women. The Women for Women are actually sponsoring this particular event. They have a website page, and I'm thinking about starting a group over there. That way we can kind of chat inside the group as well. But right now it's just a page, and it's Women for Women. And we are I'm physically in Ohio, and Mason, tell us, where are you?
I'm actually also, and I'm in Newark, Ohio,
Okay, and I'm
just
just right
outside of
outside of
Columbus.
Columbus, Ohio. And Amy, where are you?
Also Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, so
Okay,
we're all
so
Ohioans. Yes.
we're all right there.
Yep.
Okay, perfect, perfect, perfect. So anyway, an overview of the Everyone Communicates, Few Connect is a book written by John Maxwell, and he is a leadership facilitator. He has a whole team called the John Maxwell Team, and he teaches and helps folks if they want to become leaders, speakers, everything kind of in that lane. And if you're certified with John Maxwell, which I am, then I'm allowed to use his material. And one of the things that he helps folks do is start masterminds. And so with this material, we can mastermind the book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. But on the back side of that, we're also training folks how to create their own mastermind, how to have their own mastermind, and how to monetize their own mastermind. And so the purpose of this call is twofold. Is one is to actually go through the material and to learn how to go through the material for our own companies. And then you can change it to whatever material you want. This is just a sampling of material. For example, I have eight different lanes. And I do fit as a fiddle, and I'm using the book Fit for Life as my material. I'm doing Build a Better Business, and I am using Story Brand by Don Miller as the material. And so you get it. So I have all of these other, oh, here comes Cindy now. So I have all of these other lanes, and I am using different material in that lane to teach the subject matter. And I actually have monetized my masterminds by creating a membership site, and folks can join for $25 a month, and then they can tap into the mastermind calls as much or as little as they want. And then I save all of the replays in my platform, so they can go back and listen to the replay anytime. So, hello, Cindy. We see that you just tapped in, so welcome. And so anyway, if you want to find the Cliff Notes, and I haven't pulled this up, I apologize. It's been a little crazy this morning, so I'll see if I can't pull it up here while we're talking. But if you want to see the platform, you see right here in this URL, and it always takes longer to load when I'm on a Zoom call. It's under Kathy Benner International Academy, and we're going to view it here as public so everybody gets to see it. So if you just go to the Kathy Benner International Academy.teachable.com, this is what you will see. And these are all of my lanes. And I just kind of want to show you, and Mason, this is good for you as well. When you are ready to use this type of platform in your own company, or it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to even be a company, it can be a hobby, it can be a nonprofit, it can be a ministry, whatever. I'm using Teachable only because I started with Teachable and it's kind of easy. This left column is all my free meetups, just like this one. This is a free meetup today. So this is all my free meetups. So here is the Fit as a Fiddle. Here is the six F's of real estate, long-term real estate investing. Here is the ins and outs of opening a B&B, short-term real estate investing. Here is that Build a Better Business. These are all free. Here is the newbie bloggers. Here is Write from Anywhere in the World. Here is Connections Over Coffee, which is how to create a nonprofit. And then here is this networking, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. So you see where these are all my free things in this left lane. Now, how I've built out my company is then I go to the center lane, and here is where I'm putting together a course to go with each one of these lanes. And this one, it says coming soon. I have a lot of that material written, but I haven't published it yet. This course is ready. This course is ready. This course is ready. This course is ready. This one is still coming soon. This one is coming soon. And this course is ready. So you see in the center here are all of the courses. Now, one of the things that I teach in this Build a Better Business here is that you have to kind of have an idea of who your audience is and, you know, how you're going to present your material. And so for me, my audience is basically folks that want to increase their income without having to go out and get some big degree or travel long distances to go to some university or spend tons of money or have, you know, the right clothes and, you know, or the right car to get there. And so I want to be able to help folks infuse $200 to $2,000 to $20,000 a month into their budgets easily. And so that's why I create this low cost point. It's only $197 for all of these courses, for each of these courses. So that gives you an idea. And then this last column is where I put my masterminds. And that's why we're learning in this course how to do a mastermind, because the mastermind business is really big right now. It's always great if you want to create something, you know, to create it with a team. You've got some people in your corner. One of the big complaints about being an entrepreneur is that you feel like you're kind of hanging out there all by yourself. And when you're in a mastermind, you have a sounding board. You have people that you can talk to, that you can say, hey, I'm going to send this over to you. And we encourage all types of connections, even outside, you know, the actual mastermind event itself is to connect with each other and help each other and send your work over and let somebody else look at it and that sort of thing. So these are my masterminds, and each one of these masterminds, it's $25 a month. And once you're in the mastermind, and see, I haven't even launched this one yet. It says coming soon. This is my biggest one right here. This long-term, because it's my longest one. This is the one I started on, was the long-term real estate. And so anyway, in the mastermind, it's $25 a month. All of the recordings get housed there. If it's a free recording, a free meetup, the recording gets housed over here. If it's a mastermind recording, it gets housed over here. And then in the mastermind recording also includes the course. So if you join the $25 a month mastermind, you get the course with it in every single lane. And so that's kind of how it looks on paper. And sometimes it helps to see it in, you know, in real life to see how that might look. So again, this mastermind includes the course and it includes all the free stuff. And you can see where I'm adding an actual moderator or facilitator to join me on all of these free, like Rita Brewer has joined me on the Fit as a Fiddle, and Christy Hawkins has joined me on the long term, and Adam Messmer has joined me on the short term. And I have a gal I've been talking to on the Build a Better Business, and then the newbie bloggers. I haven't added a facilitator there yet. And as I come down, I have invited Mason to join me on the free to help me facilitate and moderate this free one and to help grow his business. And so now that we're in this series right here, and this is the free meetup. So here's where all of the free stuff is that we've been doing. Here is the mastermind that I haven't launched yet. As I go through this, writing this course and launching this mastermind, this will help all of us that are in this series help grow our own businesses in whatever fashion that you want to grow your business. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to show you what that looked like. I'm going to stop sharing. Are there any questions on that before we launch actually into our mastermind today? No? Everybody good with all that? So in the mastermind, yep, she says, so far, so good. So in the mastermind, when we go through, and I also wanted to tell you, when you go to that Kathy Benner International Academy.teachable.com and scroll down to the free, Everyone Communicates Through Connect thumbnail, when you scroll down to that in the left column, that is also where you'll find the link to buy the book, Everyone Communicates Few Connect. And that's also where you'll find the cliff notes if you don't want to buy the book and you just want to get the cliff notes. And what we do is the book has, oh gosh, I don't have the book right in front of me. I want to say maybe 10 chapters. And what we do is we mastermind chapter 1 and 2, which is in the first half of the book. Then we jump over and mastermind 6 and 7, which is in the second half of the book. And then we tie it all together with chapter 9. And Mason has been our facilitator for 4 events, 4 times now. And so this is his 5th. And then as we're going to skip December because it falls on Christmas Eve. And then we're going to jump over into January, and Angela McBride is going to be our facilitator for 5 sessions starting in January. And she, again, is going to go through chapter 1 and 2, chapter 6 and 7, and then tie it all together with chapter 9. And then anyone else in the group that wants to give it a try, and again, then we're going to circle back around because we're all going to learn. And the more you go through it, the better you get at getting the group to talk. That's the whole point, is getting everybody to share their thoughts on the topic. And then once you're ready to launch your own, it can be any topic that you want. You can see where I have 8 different topics in my academy. And so it can be your topic when you're ready to launch a free meetup, but you run your free meetup kind of like a mastermind. And that's why we call the person running it not only the facilitator, but the moderator. And the difference by definition is a facilitator never puts their own opinion in. They're just facilitating the folks in the room. A moderator will not only pull the folks in, but they also can contribute their opinion as well. And so that's why Mason's wearing 2 hats today. He's the facilitator and the moderator. So that way he's welcome to put his own opinions in there to get the discussion going. And that's why the twofold definition there. So with that, I am going to turn it over to Mason, and he's going to talk about chapter 9, tie it all together for us. And then we're going to talk a little bit about just the mechanics of a mastermind at the very end. So Mason, it's over to you.
So a couple of things to piggyback on what Kathy was just saying. So first of all, in case you have, ladies haven't noticed, this is a coffee time. Can't get my camera in there. So no problem drinking coffee. The title of the book is Everybody Communicates, Few Connect. So my take on everything Kathy just said is, how do we connect with folks? You know, we've all sat there and listened to people talk at us, mm-hmm. and we've tuned them out just as fast, and we've had the Charlie Brown response. I will admit sometimes I even physically put that sound in my head, depending on the speaker. So the purpose of this is twofold. One, to talk about those topics. It may sound strange, but sometimes you do need to talk about and practice how do you communicate with people. As goofy as that may sound, it's important, and I'll give you an example why. A couple of verbal tics I have. Okay, one, I repeat myself a lot. Two, I have a bad habit of interrupting. I do. Three, I will go way too much detail, okay? And these are things I've had to learn. And to be quite honest, at least 2 to 3 I've been called out on. So by having this conversation in this time, you learn how to catch yourself. For example, I now know that I've gotten better at interrupting, but there's times when I feel like I have to jump in right at that moment. So I'll physically say, hey, look, I need to interrupt at this point because of. And that way, it's not that I'm interrupting because I'm not listening to them. It's, hey, on that point, I really want to add to it. Okay. So, and that took me time to get comfortable with and to find the right phrasing. I'm not trying to say I'm being, I can't even think of the right adjective, but it's knowing yourself and then knowing how to work with other people, how to be comfortable with that. You know, repeating myself. Sometimes I mean to repeat myself. So I will physically, in my head, I will tell, look, I'm repeating myself on purpose because this point is that important. That way people know where I'm coming from And I'm not just rambling off somewhere down the coast. So that's why this topic, communication and connections, are so important. And I don't think you can say enough of it. I will give you an example of my life. I'm mentoring a young lady who lives in Pennsylvania. And we talked about, what are some of the skills that I can help you with? And one of the things she talked about, it's a smart young lady, you know, early in her career, talking to people. I mean, she has no problem talking to phone one-on-one, but she doesn't like talking to people. So that's an area we talk about. We go over to get practice with, because as silly as it may sound, sometimes you need to practice these things to be comfortable with these things. So, and Kathy's right, by the way, in the book, there are 10 chapters, and we're going to talk about today that connectors inspire people. So when we're talking with someone, we want to inspire them to whatever the topic is. And when I say inspire them, I don't mean inspire them, ha ha, you're on my team, do what I say. No, it's you want them to listen. We hear, what was it? 3,000 messages a day. I forget the numbers now. We hear over 3,000 messages a day, every day. I don't know what you guys, but right now, literally, I've got my cell phone is on this side. And that's in case somebody needs to get a hold of me. My other desktop computer is over that way, but it screens off. I've turned it off on purpose. You get all these messages bombarding us. So when we're talking with someone, we want to be the one capturing their attention. And you capture their attention, the words you speak, 7%. 7% of the words you speak is part of the communication process. 93% is how you present yourself, your body language, your tone, your actions. You know, how are you looking? How are you paying attention? So even that, if you know that you have a tendency to do something that you don't intend to, while you're working on getting the habit of control, there's nothing wrong with articulating that. I will tell you right now, sometimes, because I talk all the time, I flap my gums all the time, I have learned to say the words, look, if I'm listening, I will sit there quietly and listen. And if folks know me for long enough, that seems, uh-oh, what's wrong? And I'll say, look, I'm listening because now's the time to listen. Because that wasn't my normal default, and I've had to learn this. So admitting to yourself, learning yourself is an important part of this. When you, what this chapter talks about, interesting, connectors inspire people. What I enjoyed about this, and I'm going to ask some questions in a moment. I'm reading the notes. It says, he has what's called an inspiration equation. When you're working with people, what they know plus what they see plus what they feel is inspiration. Inspiration towards the message. And it may not be your message, it's the message, whatever the topic is. So when you're talking to folks, something to think about. So what they know. And it's not about the information presented, because the fact is, any of us can get on our phone and Google the topic. Again, they'll Google it in much more depth than you can do. The question is, they want to know that you care, that are you on their side? Are you working with them from their point of view? I'm not just presenting my point of view. It's from their point of view, to try and understand their point of view. Because the fact is, you're probably going to learn something. And you have to realize, as a speaker, put your ego in check. And I say that for a reason. Okay, put your ego in check and listen to what they, or think about what they are perceiving, what they know, because that's the important part. You already know what you know, but it's when you talk to them, what do they know? Do they know that you care about them? That's what it comes down to. I mean, anybody got any examples of where you've, okay, here's the question. Here's my first question. This ought to be fun. Within reason. Have you ever been involved in a conversation or a meeting or a talk where you knew that speaker didn't care less about you? I mean, any examples that anybody's willing to share? More importantly, how did it make you feel? Anybody willing to jump in there? Uh-oh. Kathy, go ahead.
Yeah, I just came off of a two-day summit over on Clubhouse. Now, if you haven't been on Clubhouse, that's another whole conversation. It's a whole new app that is just pretty darn amazing, actually. One of the things that I like about Clubhouse is that it's all just words. You're not looking at the person. So you're not saying, oh, gee, you know, like me today, this is me without fixing my hair. This is how it turns out because I've had a really crazy morning, but it's all good. But when you're on Clubhouse, you don't see the person. So you're not thinking, oh, she ought to fix her hair a little better or whatever. Or, you know, or like Mason, we just had a whole conversation before he got started about his background and how he could make it better and all of that sort of thing. And so you're not thinking, oh, you know, Mason, I can tell he's got a virtual background going on there because of the way he's moving. So you're not distracted by that. You're just listening to their words. So with that said, as I started listening to this summit and speakers were coming on every hour, it seemed like I really could tell a difference if the person came across as being really passionate about their topic, or whether they're, when they presented, if it sounded almost like they were reading. Now, in their defense, they could have been nervous. Maybe it's the first time that they've been asked to speak at a summit, and maybe they were thinking, I've got to get this material down pat, you know, and I've got to make sure I don't miss any points, and I've got to follow this outline. And so maybe that's what I was hearing, but I felt much more connected to the person's that were just speaking with passion about their topic. You could tell they were passionate about the subject. And it was very inspirational. So it goes to the formula of what they know, and then what they see and what they feel equals inspiration. And so when I was listening, I felt like they knew their topic incredibly well, that they were living it, and that they felt very passionate about it. And that's what inspired me. So that's my take on the formula today. Mason.
Any other examples? So another part of this, what they know is what they perceive you feel about it. I know that when I speak with people, and I deal a lot of my, in my day job, if you will, I'm on the phone all the time. Okay. And what I've learned, and I did this in person, now I'm doing a phone, it works even better on the phone, is let folks know what you expect of them in terms of you have high expectations of them. Your default mode should be, I think positively about you. I expect good things of you. Because when you come in with that mindset, that heart set, and that's my phrasing, not Maxwell's, your heart set, I expect good things of you. I do. It changes the flavor of the interaction. You know, telling people, I know you can do this. You know, I know you can do this. When you're talking with folks, I know you can do this. I believe in you. A mistake happens. That's life. We move forward. But setting that tone in your internal expectations of people comes across in how you present yourself, your topic. People need to see your belief in them. They need to see your passion, your convictions. And the fact is, they'll see your character through each of their interactions with you. If you only have one interaction, you got one shot. If you deal with them all the time, every time you work with someone, let's be honest here. Or maybe it's just me. You guys correct me. When you deal with folks every day, that's a day you have a chance to gain points and lose points. Lots of points. But over time, you get to know what is normal for that person. Okay. So they get to see your, whoever you're talking with over time gets to see your character. So if you have an off day, maybe the question is, it's not normally like that person. How are things usually? That way they see your character, because once again, you have got a tiny shot to get in there. You're right. See, this is that fading you're talking about, Kathy. Look at my screen. You have a tiny shot to get in there to communicate, not talk words at someone, but to communicate. And they have to believe in you, and they have to believe that you believe in them. And even if you're clueless on something, you say, look, I have no idea how we're going to do this, but let's try it. If they know you're sincere in that, that's a connection. This whole book, this whole series, is how do you connect with people? And one of the things we talked about before the Zoom meeting was Zoom is here to stay. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's just too easy to talk to folks. It's much more efficient. I give you my phone. And I got a friend in Florida and I can call him or I can get on a video, a FaceTime. I don't have Apple products, but you know what I mean. A FaceTime, a Zoom call.
A Skype.
Skype, any of those. So getting this connection is important when you talk with folks. It's your conviction over, you know, it's interesting. The book talks about your conviction, and I think it should be your conviction about trying to reach out to someone. Okay. Your topic is what your topic is. You can be passionate about your topic, but you gotta be passionate about the other person, even if you don't know them. So, I mean, I guess, and one thing, I like asking questions. I don't know if, ladies, if you have any input. Maybe when has there been a time you've talked with someone who they're talking about a topic and they really didn't believe in it? They really didn't care. How did it come across to you? How did it make you feel? Because connections is about feelings. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, any good I always like examples. I love war stories. I love hearing war stories. It's awesome.
Well, again, I'll share again, and then we'll go to Amy and Cindy. So be thinking of your share. I just had a coaching call with a gentleman yesterday, and he has authored a book. And when I see him on Facebook, it's like he keeps saying, I don't know how to market my book. Does anybody have any ideas? You know, and that comes across a little negative because he keeps asking for help basically to market his book. And so what he's saying is, and bear with me here, I'll bring all of this full circle. What he's saying is, can somebody help me? What's in this for me? I wrote this book. So now what's in it for me? I need somebody to come and show me and help me. And it's all about me. And so I had a coaching call with him because I do a free strategy call. And I said, hey, I'd love to chat with you. I have some ideas. So of course he tapped in because again, he was thinking what's in it for me, you know, for him. So he tapped in to see what I had for him. And what I had for him was once I listened to what his book was about and I started asking him questions like, what is your overarching message in this book? And he totally turned his conversation around and he was just pouring out value about this book that he has written. And I said, when you go on social media, I said, you need to turn around your message. And I said, you need to pour out value instead of asking everybody to pour value into you. You need to pour out value. And I said, and your book will automatically sell. And so it was just such a small tweak that he needed. He needed to start thinking about what is in it for the other person, not what is in it for him. And he just needed to turn that around and think about how he can add value to the other person instead of how that other person can add value to him. So before we finished our call, I said to him, I said, because he's very active. Yes, Mason, marketing is storytelling, selling is serving. Perfect. Yes, it is. And so what I said to him before we hung up is I said, we have this group called Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And I said, it's not only about a mastermind, but it's about how to create your own mastermind. And this gentleman was very active in his church. And this book had a faith-based message in it. And I said, I could see you. And I said this to him. I said, I could see you running masterminds in that environment. And he was just blown away by that. I could tell. Just and now we're just having a phone conversation, so I'm not seeing his face. I wish I could have, because I could tell that it kind of took him aback a little bit. And he said, you actually see that in me? And I couldn't physically see him, but just in his conversation, he had such passion. Once I got him on message, he had such passion that I said, I absolutely can see that in you. And he said, no one has ever had that kind of confidence in me before. And that was a huge connection that we made. And now I feel like I did my small part in maybe inspiring him, because remember, our formula here is what I know with what I see, with what I feel, I can inspire someone. And so what I knew about this gentleman, what I could see, and again, I'm having a phone conversation, but what I could see about his message and the picture that he verbally painted for me and the passion that he felt that I could see in him, I felt that I could really give him some inspiration to go forward with his message. So anyway, I'm going to invite him, of course, to join us on these Friday mornings so that he can see for himself how a mastermind can play out and hopefully then take his message to the next level. So again, that's an example of how I used all of this. And Mason, you are totally, totally correct. That storytelling is your marketing and that serving is your selling. And so again, that's why I like to do the free meetups, because it's my way to give back. So I'm going to move on around the room. Amy, do you have some thoughts on this subject? We'd love to hear from you.
Sure. You know, I was thinking about this. I mean, I have specific examples, but I think if I describe in general what I've seen, different types of presentations and meetings, you know, obviously we've all been in situations where topics run the gamut and types of communication, you know, informal work situations to formal conferences where you're going around hearing a lot of different people. You know, it makes for different, in my opinion, it makes for different types of presentations. For like, for example, for this is about communication. So I think there's going to be in general, this is such an important topic for everyone. You know, we all want to communicate better and, you know, we're kind of on the same page, but like, if we're going to a topic on some type of formal, you know, presentation where we might not know as much about the subject and the presenter is going to just have to present the material and it's kind of hard to connect more with the audience, I think those are going to come across differently. But my point with all this is that I think things that can be done, you know, in common is for the presenter or the communicator who's trying to communicate a message to a few things. I mean, basically try to achieve common ground, like was stated, you guys have mentioned that, and that was stated in the description for this meetup today. I mean, finding common ground that the audience is gonna, you know, kind of latch on to. And maybe for the communicator to show a small amount of vulnerability that they're one of you. We're an expert, you know, keep it professional, we're the expert. But Mason, your examples were wonderful. It was, you know, you showed things you're working on, but you didn't cross boundaries of being too personal, but you kind of showed us, hey, this is what I'm trying to work on. So that's fantastic. And yeah, I think the communicator's able to connect and show some vulnerability, showing, hey, I'm one of you all, while still keeping it professional. And I think, you know, the times when I've noticed it's tricky to follow someone is when I think the presenter is focusing so much on what they're saying and how they're focusing so much on themselves subconsciously. You know what I mean? They're not meaning to, but it's just like, wow, this is hard to kind of stay focused because I feel bad for the person. They want to make sure they quote, get things right, you know? And I think they're more worried about the exact wording and how they're presenting themselves that they're kind of forgetting to do some connecting with the audience. So those are the times when I've, like, it's been hardest to follow the most, but at the same time, I feel bad for them because I don't think they're meaning a lot of times just be so self-focusing, you know, just they're nervous, you know? So, and I'm very much an introvert. And I know when I try to talk, I'd prefer to be able to, you know, think through my head what I'm going to say, but sometimes I focus on what I'm saying too much. So I'm guilty of that as well. So there's a lot to throw out there. There's some thoughts I had as we were talking about this.
Well, that's where knowing yourself comes into play.
Yeah.
When you're in front of an audience, okay, I have kids. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have three kids and they have no problem pointing out my flaws. Okay, ladies, I'm married. Cindy, be quiet. I'm married. My wife has no problem pointing out my flaws. Everyone sees them. Mm-hmm. So we hope otherwise, but we all know that we've sat in the audience. So for me, and it's hard to accept that and play with it. Okay.
Yeah.
Because when something happens, in my personal life, I'm not superstitious. I love black cats. Hey, don't walk under a ladder because there might be a guy on top of it, but I'm not superstitious. Yeah. In my business life, mm-hmm. I am very superstitious. You do not make fun of Mr. Murphy, or he will walk up to you, put his arm around your shoulder, say, "Hey, Mason, let's chat." And it's never a fun chat. Respect Mr. Murphy. Knowing that, play with it. Have some fun. For me, and trust me, I've done things as weird as I once lost my entire briefing, which I had not memorized, 5 minutes before I had to brief a 3-star general. And he was not a nice guy. He was not a nice guy. Learn from that. Play with it. Because everyone else is going to catch it. We all see it. Like you said, Amy, you've seen it when they're nervous and uncomfortable. They're so focused. Mm-hmm. Play with it.
Yeah.
And sometimes the introvert, and I've told this to Kathy, and she's, I'm actually uncomfortable in chit chat. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Even doing this, I'm a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I am. I've just learned that I had to stop and learn about myself, painfully so, to have some fun with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. I mean, we've all seen examples on both sides. Play for me, it's play with it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Play with it. You notice I've thrown myself under the bus several times. Why? One, it makes you laugh a little bit, kind of relaxes you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you get to see who I am. Two, it takes the pressure off me because now I've thrown my vulnerability out there. Let's try that word again. I throw my vulnerability out there for all to see because I know you're going to see it anyway.
Yeah. True. Good point.
Kind of like the elephant in the room, you know?
Yeah. Say it. Oh, you know, and going along with the chit chat, just real quick, I just recently read something that, I mean, I guess I knew to some extent, a lot of people don't like chit chat, you know, but I thought there were some people out there that really do actually like small talk and chit chat. That's their preferred. Turns out this article made it sound like most people really don't particularly enjoy it, or they can do it, but they don't get a whole lot out of it. They don't like the small talk. It's much, they feel much more comfortable when things go comfortably deeper. And again, that was just news to me. I guess I still thought there were a fair amount of people out there that they just really enjoy, you know, small chit chat, and then they want to be on their way. So that's interesting. This article kind of claims that that's not true. Most people feel more comfortable when they can go deeper with people to some extent. So
is it a connection thing?
Yeah. I think they just, it was like you were saying, Macy, some just don't like it. And some just don't, it's just, they feel a little uneasy. It's, I guess they think it's too superficial. So, like I said, that was kind of news to me. And I think we all kind of have to have it to some extent when we first meeting someone, but I always assume there are some people that are just not as interested going deeper in general with when they first meet someone. Like small chit chat's fine for them, but yeah.
It's that connection thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once again, it's a connection thing. And what I have found from my terms of chit chat mm-hmm. is I try and find something I connect with the person.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether it's names, whether it's genealogy, whether it's military, whether it's languages, parts of the country, I try and find something that I can talk about, connect with.
Yeah.
What do they do? And for me, even if I can't, and every now and then you find something where, wow, I'm just not seeing anything.
Yeah.
What do they do? And if you don't know, then follow up on that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you follow up on it, like, I don't know what you do, Amy, I would ask you, and say you do something that I can't even understand. then what I've learned is to be comfortable saying, I don't really understand that. Can you break it down or make it simpler, layman's terms? You know, and then I admit that I don't understand, but I want to learn more. That way, my sincerity is a little more evident.
Yeah.
And it's a little more, it is honest, it's real, but my ignorance of the topic, which that person will determine right away, I've laid it on the table. Like Amy, yeah. what do you do for a hobby that you enjoy?
I like to play tennis with my dad.
Okay, so I played tennis 35 years ago at the academy and I sucked at it. But I could ask you about tennis and admit that I don't know anything about it. I see it on TV. But so you had a way to connect there.
Yeah, and I would think most people take that as a compliment, I'm assuming. I would take that, I wouldn't assume, I can't believe he doesn't know about this. I'd be like, wow, I'd be much more flattered saying versus, oh my gosh, I don't know, can't believe you don't know this. I'm hoping other people see it the same way. Like, he's really interested. He doesn't know about it. It's not his thing, but he wants to know more about me. I would hope people would take it as flattered versus, I can't believe this person doesn't know about this, you know?
And the connection question I asked, I did not ask what you did for a living.
Right. Yes.
Because I didn't want to hear the label you put on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to hear about you.
Yeah. I'd rather be more than my job. Yeah. I like my job, but I don't want to. The United States focuses so much on actual labels. Yeah. It's really.
Interesting phrasing though. Yeah. United States places. That's an interesting phrasing.
You think? Because I feel like I keep hearing other countries, they say they don't talk about that way in a lot of other countries. So that's
work-life balance issue. That is true. That is true. Yeah. United States does that. Yeah. In the States, almost the first question is always like, what is it that you do?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
And that question was something I had to learn to say. Hmm. Okay. It goes back to knowing myself, because unfortunately, the way I grew up, I am my title.
Yeah.
I am my title, and I am still struggling with that to this day. Cindy can testify to that. She's known me most of my life. Oh. That I struggle with that. So I've learned to try and ask the question, well, what do you do as a hobby or something like that? Because I know for me, I have a title. Mm-hmm. But to be quite honest, I think I'm more interesting than what the other stuff I do in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. I don't know if I am or not, but I think I am.
Yeah.
So, but once again, the connection is part of connecting is understanding your own limits and then trying to get comfortable in your discomfort.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
What people see, they see your discomfort. Mm-hmm. They see it. Now, the question is it he's uncomfortable or he's hiding something from me? Mm. Or does he think he's better than me?
Right.
Mm-hmm. As people, we tend to think towards a negative. It's a survival thing from way back in the caveman days. Mm. Not labeling. It's not a judgment. It's actually, Kathy, I looked at stuff. People will default towards pessimism, and it's a survival thing. Okay? We don't recognize it.
Interesting. Yeah.
So admitting this stuff up front takes the question out of Amy's mind. Like if she said tennis, I'll be quite honest. When you said tennis, my first thought was back to learning to play tennis and how bad it was.
Yeah, it was. The negative, yeah.
But the eye rolling, which was meant towards me, from your standpoint, might be going, oh, God. I have to think about that. What you see, what you feel. So that's why I had to throw out there, I was awful, so that you wouldn't misread my body language. Mm-hmm. Communication, 93%. Body language and tone.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to define our body language and tone. You know, I'll pick on Cindy again. She's heard me do this. I have to define myself sometimes. You know,
you're very good at it, by the way.
I'm transparent. I read like a Dr. Seuss book. I'm not much more complicated than that. So I have to say things like, this is what's going on. For example, I always flap my gum. I'm always talking. Except, and I say these words in the workplace. I'm quiet like four times. When I have a headache, I'm quiet. when I'm focused on something, okay, when I'm focused on something, you know, I tend to be quiet. When I'm angry, you know, when I'm angry, I tend to be quiet, because if I'm mad at Cindy, I'm picking on Cindy, I'm not going to really talk to Kathy or Amy, because you don't need my wrath. I'm going to wait till I talk to Cindy. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then when I don't feel well, headache, all the same thing. The problem is, and I actually say these words at work, okay, for people who work with me, and I say it in my own house, because I'm always talking. When I'm quiet, people automatically assume I'm mad. Hmm. Yeah, probably working on a story in my head. You know, my hobbies are I write, and I've always got a story going in my head. So I have to physically say the words. I'm not mad. I'm just thinking about something.
Yeah.
So I define myself for people so they're not guessing where I'm coming from. It's part of the communication. It works sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't, to be honest.
And that's good, because people can't read each other's minds. So that's right. Good. I need to be doing that more. I need to be expressing myself more. Tell people. I'm always assuming, as an introvert, I think we tend to do that more, assuming people are understanding what we're thinking or feeling. And yeah, I need to sometimes actually verbalize it more often. So.
And that's because a decision, I think. Yeah, because I believe it or not, and Mason may agree or not agree with me, but I am really quite the introvert. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I've discovered that my perfect place in life would be a support person behind the upfront person. You know, I'd make a great admin for some big executive somewhere, because I could book all the flights and do all the paperwork and all, you know, and yeah. the anniversary present for the wife and all, you know, I would love to be that. Yeah. But I can do okay as an upfront person, but I have to make a decision that I am now going to step into that position as the upfront person to moderate or facilitate a particular call. But I feel much more comfortable being the behind the scenes person. And so I think it's just realizing, I think our personalities, like Mason said, who we are and to be able to verbalize, you know, what we're doing or how we're feeling or how we're thinking. And that is a huge connection, especially with family and close business associates. That's a huge way to connect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Cindy, let's hear from you.
Good morning, everyone. So one thing that for me and Mason knows this is what I am very transparent in my when I'm talking to somebody, you know exactly how I'm feeling. So one thing for me that's crazy important is, and I say this a lot to myself, when you're talking to somebody and communicating and you say something and they get this crazy look on their face, like, whoa, what was that about? So I think to myself, oh my gosh, did my inside voice appear on my face? You know, because you just don't know how you're coming across. And so I try to keep my facial expressions in check and, you know, try to eliminate judgment. And I think a lot of times that's when you're communicating with somebody is the judgment and subconsciously that judgment that you have because of where you came from, how you grew up and all of this crazy stuff literally comes out on your face, or, you know, you try to hide it, but it's simply there. So being conscious of your expressions is crazy important, crazy important. I give title classes. So I try to connect with the people in the class, which is very easy. And because we do the same thing. However, I pat them on the back, give them compliments, and it's very sincere. They know it's sincere. And you can tell by people's reaction when you're talking to them if what you're saying is sincere, if it's coming from the good place within you, or if it's coming from, oh, I guess I really need to say this, you know? To me, it's important to be sincere, come from that authentic vulnerable place within you. And it's okay to say, I don't know, or it's okay to say, hey, man, I really suck at tennis, you know? Amy, when you said, talked about tennis, I had a dear friend that played tennis all the time and she got tennis elbow. And it was like, that's what I thought of, like, ow, that's painful. Tennis is painful. Even though I don't know anything about tennis, that's all I know.
Bad association. Yeah, already. Oh, no.
Exactly. And by the way, I've been trying to play with this to take my logo off. I don't know. Zoom just makes me crazy. I couldn't get it off so you all could see me. Just saying. Actually,
Cindy, off on the side, later on, we'll talk about it. I've got a better idea for your Zoom picture and we'll redo it.
So. Thank you. And Laurel is very good at listening and connecting. He may think otherwise, but he's very, very good at making sure that whoever he is speaking with understands where he's coming from. And he, most importantly, he wants to understand where that other person is at and communicates that. And that's how he is. He doesn't like compliments. I'm sorry.
I think I'm gonna Venmo the $5 later on for you. Thank you.
Did I tell you that it just increased, just so you know, inflation? No. But I think that it's really important to try to connect with people and being vulnerable. To me, that's the most important. That to me is, you know, we don't want to be vulnerable, you know, and chit chat, I think, creates a real vulnerable platform for everybody because it's awkward. You know, when somebody says, here's your topic, talk about it. It's really easy to do that. But when you're chit chatting and you're meeting people, you know, you're like, hey, how you doing? You know, and you know, that inside voice appears on your face because it feels awkward.
Yeah, exactly. Just a little strained or something.
Exactly. Exactly. And I guess being comfortable within you, that's where we have to bring ourselves is not be judgmental about yourself. I think that opens up a more relaxing aura within you. I don't know what the right verbiage is here, but if you're relaxed and not stressed about it, because sometimes we go into, you know, you have these meetings and you have the happy hour thing where you do have to do the chit chat and stuff. It's like, I don't really want to do that, you know? And so you walk in with that feeling and it's just there. It's all there. Where if we could get to a spot, whatever that self-talk is within you, you know, to get yourself calm and whatever, and not so put so much pressure on yourself. I think that's where a lot of that uncomfortableness comes from, is putting that self pressure on you and getting rid of that and just relax with it, you know, and it comes across more authentic.
And Cindy, I agree. I think not only does it come across more authentic, but I think it comes across with a little more passion when you're vulnerable.
True. Exactly.
And like I said earlier, everyone sees it. I mean, let's be honest. Well, let me rephrase that. We all perceive something in the other person. Is it vulnerability, like I'm uncomfortable? Is it arrogance, as in I'm better than you? Mm-hmm. What is it? So if we take time to label it for the other person, that goes back to creating expectations so they know where you're coming from. You know what I mean? So they know that I'm trying to relate with you and I'm uncomfortable here, as opposed to, and I'll be honest, in my 20s, I was better than every one of you. Just ask me. No, sadly, Kathy, this is true. In my 20s, I was better. I was just a better class of human being. I had actually said that to people. I kid you not. Okay. I believed.
I met you when I did.
Pardon?
I'm glad I met you when I did.
Oh, no, I had that attitude in those days, too. You just put me in my place. So you have to learn these things. So admitting these things up front helps people get to know who you are. Once again, people want to know where you're coming from and do you care about them?
Yeah.
Admitting your vulnerability, admitting that whatever the emotion you're feeling inside helps them understand where you're coming from, which will lend closer towards, provides a positive, towards relating to them and you care about where they're coming from. So.
Yeah.
Sure. I have an example of, for myself, I'm honest. I don't play games with situations. And I went into a dealership yesterday. I process car titles for dealerships. And I walk in and the main guy, his name is Dan. He's sitting at his desk and there's a gentleman sitting in a chair next in front of his desk. And I had met this gentleman 4 months ago. He's actually the owner of several dealerships and nice guy, but I didn't know who he was. I just didn't recognize him. The last time I saw him, he had a suit and tie on and now he had sweats on and just like, and a hat, a hello, you know? So Dan says, hey, you remember so-and-so? And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I don't recall. And I shake his hand and then, you know, afterwards, I realized that he was the owner and I came back to see Dan and, you know, Dan looked at me and he says, did you really say that you didn't remember him? And I said, yeah. And he's like, seriously. And he started laughing. He says, I don't think I've ever heard that. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he said, you know, most people, when they realize or you know, it's the owner of a business, they try to play it and whatever. I'm just honest. No, I'm sorry. I don't remember you. And sometimes, you know, that's where you get sometimes dealing with people that own a lot of businesses and such where they're like on a pedestal and everybody should know who they are and where they come. You know what I mean? And it just is awkward and everybody stands at attention. Laurel, you know, being in the military, you know, but being vulnerable and saying, I'm sorry, I don't remember who you are or, you know, whatever. And he just did not make an impression on me. And I meant no disrespect, you know, but the manager, I got the feeling that he was a little horrified by my, like, no, I don't remember, you know? That's where I think, you know, being who you are and comfortable with who you are and being truthful versus not having the ego and just be a real human. You know, just be a real human. And I'm hoping that the trend will turn that way. And I'm in a very ego-driven arena in dealerships, owners of dealerships and such. And so I personally don't play the game and I don't come in and think I know everything and such, but I try to just be me. And not, you know, I'm respectful, but not disrespectful, but because I have that voice that I have to always keep in check. Oh my gosh, did my inside voice come out on my face? And that does happen with me a lot, you know, during headlights or I don't know who you are. And apparently they thought I should, you know, just being
at least human, you admit it.
What's that?
At least you admitted it.
Absolutely. Always. Always. And, you know, and I've been in the office when this gentleman has called there and everybody's running around him, you know, and I'm just like, who in this day and age runs a business like that? That's my first question is who runs a business like that? You know, it's just kind of like, yikes, you know, but anyway, just be real.
Yeah.
Oh, did you have something, Amy? Oh, just kidding.
No, I'm just agreeing with all that. Absolutely. I second that.
So, and I do the same thing. Well, I've learned, and I'll, once again, my same thing, when I forget names, I remember faces. I'm good with that. I'll forget names. I've learned, I just admit up front and I tell people, look, I'm done playing that game. I remember you, but I have forgotten your name right this moment and your name is important. Once again, I do that. It's funny. I do that with kids. When I substitute teach and I'll be in a class for a second or third time, I may not remember their name. And I admit up front, as opposed to getting their name wrong, because if I get a kid's name wrong, I'm either going to get teased the rest of the day. That's a frequent reaction. Or someone gets their feelings hurt.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? Let's be honest. Kids, adults, sometimes only different is height. So the whole purpose of talking today was we're trying to inspire people. When we're trying to communicate and connect, we're trying to inspire people. And you're trying to get a message across, mm-hmm. okay, to connect. And to kind of wrap it up, you want to have some kind of call to action, okay? And when he talks about, you know, the book is talking about your passion will create people to a call to action. And you can help guide and define what that call to action is. Whether it's, let's just stay in touch, let's actually connect, or whether it's the topic at hand, whatever. I find it's that second and third connection that helps build that relationship. So you want a call to action, whatever that is, whatever your topic is, following up on it. And it's kind of a general comment, but a call to action is where you have people doing something because that solidifies, once again, that solidifies that connection or works towards solidifying that connection. And on that note, because I'm watching, I do try and watch the time. We do try to keep this to about an hour-ish or so. One thing you can do is, first of all, Amy, just so you know, mm-hmm. If you want to put your name in the chat, your name and email, you can, it's a way for all to stay connected. I believe, and Kathy will in a moment explain how to be able to pull this record up, because I think I've forgotten how. Oh, no, there is. When you go in a chat room, there's a series of three dots on the lower right-hand side and talks about save chat. Uh-huh. If you want to stay connected, you know, click that. That'll save the chat on your computer where you get emails if you want to reach out to any of us. So feel free to put your information in there for everybody.
Sure. How do I save the chat? I'm sorry.
Okay. I just had to look up on the right side.
Okay.
You'll see the smiley face. At least on mine. Yes. I see a smiley face and I see the three dots.
And the three dots. Okay. There we go. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't want to interrupt you, but yeah, thank you. I'll put mine in.
You know what? I had to practice that too. See, there's your smiley face.
Now I know. It's good to know.
I will share with everyone that over in the Kathy Benner International Academy.teachable.com, under that free thumbnail for this event, there is a section there of everyone's connections. And so, and again, we encourage you to connect, you know, throughout the month if you want to do that. Also, my call to action, just to follow up on what Mason is saying, is I want to invite everyone to join us here the fourth Friday of every month at 10 a.m. for this particular call. Yeah. And also, if you want to get a little more practice in whatever it is that you want to present, if you feel that you want to do that, we have a clubhouse room every Monday at 10.
Oh, okay.
Every single Monday at 10, there's a clubhouse room. And again, you can find it under my name. But just connect with me if you're interested. I can make sure I can get you on over there if you want to talk about
everything
that.
Is.
It's good to
everything's
know.
Ohio time, Cindy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's helpful. It does help out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everything is on Eastern Standard Time. Yes.
Great. Yeah.
So perfect. Perfect. That's perfect. Good.
Yeah. Well, thank you all so much. This has been wonderful. I think more people need to hear all these sessions, and this one in particular is a big interest of mine. But yeah, it's too bad everyone can't hear this message. This is absolutely very important.
Thank you. Well,
ladies, thank you for joining us, and hopefully we'll see you after the first of the year.
Yeah.
So whatever you do for holidays, have a great holidays. And
yes, happy holidays.
Yes, you too.
All right, I am going to stop the recording.